Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Philip Fasano to the broadcast. Phil is the Chief Information Officer at Kaiser Permanente, where he directs the 6,000 employees of the Health Information Technology team. Phil was recently named one of Computer World's 2010 Top 100 Information Technology Leaders for Exceptional Technology Leadership and Effectively Managed IT Strategies. Since joining Kaiser Permanente in 2007, Phil has been working on using technology to move the not-for-profit healthcare system toward a vision of real-time, personalized healthcare for its 8.6 million members. Under Phil's leadership, the company creates better tools and platforms, delivers smarter, more connected care that is also preventive and affordable. Phil has served in information technology leadership roles at leading financial services companies, including Capital One Financial Group, where he drove the transformation to diversified financial services, as well as being the senior vice president and global business executive for JP Morgan, where he helped improve the IT function, reinvigorate a strong customer focus, and acquire and retain new business. Previously, Phil worked at Capital Sourcing Group, a consulting company he founded to serve Fortune 500 companies and the federal government. Phil earned an MBA from Long Island University and an undergraduate degree in computer science from New York Institute of Technology. I recently spoke with Phil in his office in Oakland, California, and our conversation centered mostly on World-Class IT Principle 4, as Phil shared a variety of perspectives from the role IT will play given healthcare reform in the U.S. to the methods he used to learn Kaiser Permanente's business when he joined, meeting with business partners, doctors, nurses, etc., as well as some other topics. Phil Fasano, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks very much.
Phil, could you take a minute and describe Kaiser Permanente's business and your role in it?
Well, Kaiser Permanente is an integrated healthcare organization, and by that I mean we have all the care delivery elements that exist in the world effectively to deliver great healthcare. We have primary care physicians. We have all the specialists. We have lab technicians. We have laboratories. We have pharmacies. We do research, medical research as well. We also happen to have a health plan, which is our insurance organization, which provides the HMO and self-funded insurance products that effectively we provide to our members who buy those products and then in turn use our services and all of our care delivery services. We have 36 hospitals and about 450 some odd medical clinics around the country. And about 180,000 people in the organization that either deliver care or provide administration and support and effectively support all of the care delivery capabilities that we offer as an organization. Our IT organization is a little over 7,000 people, including our consulting staff, with a little over 6,000 people are employees of the organization nationally. We focus on delivering all the systems and supporting all the systems that support all of our care, providing effectively our electronic medical record, which many people have written about, our kp.org website, which our members use very actively. We have over 3 million members actively using that particular service to email their doctors and look at their lab results and check on their pharmaceuticals and in the case they'd like to renew pharmaceuticals, do that as well online. We also provide all kinds of support from an analytics standpoint that physicians use in the form of care registries to monitor and support chronic condition management for our patients, diabetics, people with heart disease, people with other chronic conditions are very actively monitored. The results we achieve through the use of the integration of our medical record and our care delivery systems from a care registry standpoint are quite significant in terms of being able to drop the number of hospitalizations for diabetics in half in some of our regions and across the country, drop the adverse outcomes from heart disease and heart conditions dramatically versus other parts of the nation when we look at statistics and look at them the measure of performance that we have with respect to our organization, our physicians, and how they care for those types of patients. So a fully integrated system, a system that has all types of healthcare being provided and all of the levels of service that anyone would need within one organization. You know, additionally, when I think about our mission as an organization, the piece of our mission that a lot of people don't spend a good deal of time on is our community benefit and our approach to serving the communities that we operate in, and certainly keeping the focus on community health. As an organization, just in 2009, our community benefit organization gave about $1.8 billion away in both healthcare services and actual funding to community clinics and other health organizations that support the underserved. It's our way of giving back, but it's also our way of keeping our communities healthy. From a total health perspective, our organization supports the community with respect to farmers markets. Our programs around healthy eating and healthy living have been supporting local farmers markets in all of our regions, as well as helping with education programs in the schools to help educate young children as well as older children about the benefits of eating right, eating nutritional food, and really the food, how food really relates to their total health. Our safety net programs are also focused on the communities that we operate, providing care for the underserved, and have been for many, many years as part of our overall community benefit program. In addition, we have this overarching environmental focus, which we believe is part of the Total Health Initiative. And in that effort, we provide all kinds of construction activities, because we do have a very large construction program that creates hospitals as well as medical clinics all around our program. That our programs with respect to construction are focused as well as having a minimal impact on the environment. Everything from energy and cooling to the paints and chemicals that we use in our facilities. Our data centers are included in that, and we've optimized our data centers for energy use, and in fact, in many instances, give power back to the power grids that we operate and get paid for that, obviously, but at the same time, really do what we can for the communities to lower the impact of our data centers on those communities that we operate.
Excellent. And can you take a moment to talk about your priorities for the foreseeable future?
Sure. We're always focused on delivering, you know, what we call real-time healthcare, and from that perspective, having our electronic medical record operational at 3, 4, 5 nines of performance within our care delivery organization, having our KP.org website available at a very high level of performance so that our members can access their information, and also have incremental access to our physicians. Specifically, we're focused on additional care registries across the organization. We're also focused in our health plan from an insurance standpoint in upgrading many of our insurance-based systems. We're in the midst of a multi-year initiative to upgrade our claim system, our membership system, and to consolidate many of our call center operations to streamline those operations for the benefit of our members.
Excellent. Healthcare reform is obviously on the minds of a lot of people inside and outside the healthcare industry. I wonder, Phil, if you could take a moment and talk about the role you think technology is going to play, given some of the reforms that have taken place.
I think information technology is going to be extraordinarily important with respect to healthcare reform. Obviously, healthcare reform and the laws that have been passed include rules on meaningful use. Those rules are intended to expand the use of information technology across the entire healthcare industry so that everyone is covered across this country by medical records, electronic medical record systems, and that members, patients as well as physicians and other clinicians have access to their information fairly seamlessly. We obviously have implemented our medical record system and look at healthcare reform as a great catalyst to both cover incremental numbers of patients and members across the country in our system, but also, you know, just to have those people covered with health insurance, where before, obviously, many of them had fallen outside the system. That said, information technology is going to be playing a very significant role in allowing us to treat those patients, both in assimilating them into the system, managing their chronic conditions where that's an appropriate activity, depending on the type of patient they are, as well as making sure that the information relative to their particular situation is readily available to physicians and other clinicians to support them.
But across the years that you've been with Kaiser Permanente, you've led a fairly dramatic transformation of this organization. And I wonder, as you embarked on this challenge and entered an industry that was unfamiliar to you, that you hadn't worked in at least in previous years, how did you organize yourself? How did you become smart on the issues that were here? And how did you organize the transformation, recognizing that one was necessary?
Well, I think, you know, coming into Kaiser Permanente, I was, you know, very attracted by the vision of mm-hmm. the organization and the potential of the organization, much of which had been delivered, but there was even more to deliver as an organization, and a lot of which was dependent on information technology. For me, it was an opportunity to really learn an industry by doing an awful lot of listening. As CIO, you listen a lot anyway, but coming into this organization, it really required me to hone my listening skills and spend a lot of time out in our regions listening to our physicians, listening to our clinical staff, listening to members of our hospital staff, listening to members of our administrative staff tell the story of the organization, both the historical story of the organization as well as many of the challenges as they were experiencing them, so I could understand and internalize those in what ultimately became an IT strategy to support them and enhance the outcomes for both our clinical staff and our physicians, but specifically for our members, to meet the goals of the organization, which was to keep them healthy. This organization, because it's integrated, focuses on the health of our patients and wellness of our patients as much as treating them when they do experience some kind of a disease or need for care. Our preference is to treat them in advance and have them remain healthy. And as a consequence, the system's requirements are quite robust. So when I thought about that as I came into the organization, I had to really learn about healthcare. And one of the ways you deeply learn about healthcare is to immerse yourself in the care side of the organization. I went and visited our hospitals. I went and visited our clinics. I spent a lot of time with our physicians, a good deal of time at times with patients in the room and in office visits when patients would allow me to be present to experience that for myself, in our surgical suites, in our emergency rooms from a layman's standpoint, emergency department for us, and really understanding the flow of emergencies and flow of information that's necessary to support physicians and other clinicians in the care of patients during an emergency. So for me, it was go and learn an entire new business, an industry from the ground up. I took the opportunity to ask every dumb question I could, and I felt that it was really important that I had that opportunity. Our physicians were extraordinary in their willingness to teach me the industry, teach me what was important to them, and share with me their knowledge. And from my perspective, I'm tremendously grateful that they were. This is an industry where everyone is here because they care about people and care about people being healthy and really experiencing, if they have to experience the health system, experience it in the best possible way that they can, and hopefully get the best possible outcome. Those concerns manifest themselves across this organization. People are here because they care. It helped me a lot in really being able to learn the organization and learn the industry, because I could ask the questions, and they were very willing in taking the time with me to help me understand both the challenges they faced and the opportunities that existed for the organization. From my standpoint, it was important to do that, and it continues to be important to immerse myself in the care delivery side of the organization every day, because the opportunities are still there to continue learning, and our physicians are extraordinary in their willingness to help us learn. And so from my standpoint, I had to immerse myself. But then beyond that, it was develop a strategy, focus on the issues, the present-day issues, as well as the long-term issues of the organization that IT really had an opportunity to move the bar on. KP Health Connect, at the time I joined this organization, which is our medical record system, was going through some challenges. We were having difficulty implementing in our hospitals. We were having difficulty implementing across our medical clinics. We were having difficulty keeping it operational from a production standpoint. We focused on those areas. We got very focused on what was important in delivering the systems, keeping them operational, and enabling the performance of our physicians through those systems. That was clearly a priority. Our infrastructure and IT really had to have a focus in terms of what the priorities of the business were. We're in the care delivery business first, and our systems are life critical. It's a very different situation in the industry I came from. As much as I like to think that my life depended on the results of the systems and financial services, it just didn't. In this industry, someone's life is in the balance when you're dealing with the systems and the information. And because we're a real-time healthcare organization, having that information always available for our physicians about our patients all the time was critical. And we've now positioned ourselves very strongly to be able to deliver that.
Excellent. You talked about the efforts that you undertook to educate yourself and asking the dumb questions and so forth. Likewise, a rather large degree, I imagine, of your success as a technology executive is dependent upon healthcare providers like doctors and nurses, hospitals, customers being more tech savvy. Can you talk a bit about the trends you've seen, the sorts of transformation perhaps that you're leading in that direction as well?
Kaiser Permanente is a little over 65 years old as an organization. All the way back to our founding, this organization has had at its core innovation and focus on the leveraging of information technology and clinical technology for the betterment of the profession. The interest of the founders was centered in that particular direction. Their messages are as meaningful today when you listen to some of the quotes and the perspectives they've had to offer all the way back then when technology was so new and the promise they felt that technology had to offer. This organization has technology in its DNA. That, as a consequence, I believe, was a great foundation for our physicians to build on over the years. And their interest in information technology and the use of information technology to support their patient outcomes and to support them personally in their endeavors across our organization is a foundational capability from their perspective. So when you think about our physicians, they're wonderfully positioned to adopt and adapt to new technologies and leverage those technologies for everyone's benefit that uses our system. Healthcare at large is in a little different situation. Most physician offices, while they have PCs, they're using them, or other technology, they're using them predominantly to keep track of patients, to provide billing and claims, processing, and administrative support for the office. They're not typically used in daily practice of care. For most physicians, they still have a bit of a learning curve, and I believe the entire industry lags, certainly Kaiser Permanente and where we are and where our physicians are, but lags the use of information technology broadly in other industries as well. The significant opportunity, clearly, is to bring the industry up to that learning curve and do so rapidly as a consequence of current technology and how easy it is to use compared to what it was 10 or 20 years ago.
You brought up the topic of innovation and the history that this organization has in terms of innovation and technology. What role, generally speaking, do you see the CIO and his or her department playing in innovation on behalf of the organization that he or she serves?
Well, there are more than two roles, but I'll name two off the top of my head. And one of them is obviously we support innovation that happens in the regions and across our organization. Our physicians are innovative to their core. They're scientists. By training, they have a perspective of discovery. They have a view around discovery. Our research department is a leading edge medical research organization that is going through discoveries, including the genome and other projects that they're focused on that have to do with current medical conditions, as well as future potential for supporting effectively personalized healthcare. Our IT organization, just a few years ago, also created what we call inside the company as our KP Innovation Fund for Technology. That fund was created specifically to allow small programs to bring forward fairly novel ideas to use information technology in the support of care, as well as in the support of some of our other functions like our health plan, which is our insurance business, and to innovate in that space in terms of delighting members with that thought in mind. With those two thoughts, we founded that program, and that program has been extraordinarily successful in bringing a lot of ventures forward, hundreds of them, and then ultimately funding a number of them and bringing many of those innovations to light in our operations.
Excellent. Innovation is a topic among large organizations oftentimes is anathema because it does entail failing and learning from those failures. Mm-hmm. As you were organizing, as the organization was organizing this innovation group, were there a separate set of rules that were put in place to allow the kind of culture of innovation to take hold?
This particular innovation fund was funded from the IT organization. And one of my early premises was fail early and fail cheap. Most of the projects are $100,000, $200,000. They're not huge in terms of dollar amounts, but the learnings that we're getting from them are enormous, both in terms of learning how to go through an innovation process, learning how to bring new innovations into our operations and operationalize those, as well as, you know, why did programs fail? Why from a human perspective might they have failed? Why from an operational perspective might they have failed? And what can we do differently to obviously solve some challenges in the operation that the innovation was attempting to solve?
And can you talk about some of the innovations that have arisen from that?
Sure. In the emergency room, we have one that we call Bird Dog. And effectively, one of our emergency room physicians saw a challenge. And the challenge was that he typically was creating lab tests for patients that showed up in the emergency room. And the typical process in the emergency room around a lab test is that they send off the lab. The results come back. They sit in an inbox, and a nurse generally sees the inbox and then brings it to the physician's attention. This became notification on their belt that lab results were ready, and it shortened the time frame that that physician had between sending the test to the lab and obtaining the results so that they could bring it to bear for the benefit of the patient. That's one really good example,
and
it's a real-time example for sure.
Excellent. That's great. As you think about technology trends and you think about their future applications, what particularly excites you now?
The concept of mobility has been something that's been interesting to me over the past few years. It's been certainly a trend in the cell world where people are moving through the cell system and going from cell phones to mobile devices to more advanced devices like the iPad. It's clear to me that in the healthcare industry, mobile technology is going to transform the way we do everything from administration to delivering care to dealing with patients and the way patients will interact with us as well from their home, on the run, and from any site that they choose to. This healthcare will begin to be delivered on patients' terms, and healthcare will also be managed and provisioned for the benefit of how a physician wants to work, because they'll be able to do it from anywhere. So I can now do a virtual consult through my mobile device, and we can do it where I can actually see a video of you, and we can be talking actively, and you can show me if you have a problem on your hand, or if you have a burn, or if you have something you'd like me to see, you can show me immediately in real time over a camera. So it becomes that transformative a relationship between the technology, the physician, and the patient that I think is going to be extraordinarily dynamic in this industry.
And as you brought up some personal technologies, as consumers interact with technology to a greater extent, does the use of personal technologies impact commercial technologies as well?
Well, I think if you look at the iPhone, which is clearly a personal technology,
exactly.
And the BlackBerry, which tends to be a business technology, a lot of folks are seeing great apps on the iPhone. They want the same type of utility from a BlackBerry or any other mobile device. There is clearly a bunch of use cases that are emerging from our knowledge of what's presented on the iPhone and what we'd like to see mobile technology from a commercial standpoint, and what we're going to have to see in terms of our physicians, clinicians, administrators, just moving between the two. I don't know that we'll have one device at any one time. Over time, they may converge, but the iPhone seems to want to be a personal device as opposed to a commercial device. There'll be plenty of commercial devices, pads and other types of devices that will come out beyond the iPad, beyond the iPhone, that in the commercial space will have great utility for us.
Excellent. Well, Phil Fasano, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your views.
Thank you very much for having me.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people, doing the right jobs at the right time, it will be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure, defined as software, hardware, networks. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will likely become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. And if systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. Now, if the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.